Obviously, it is difficult to summarize four 14-hour days of business and worship, and Gloria has done a marvelous job. Thank you. If you would like more information about anything that happened at annual conference, you can go to the website, which is eocumc.com, and you'll see entire worship services, a summary of business, etc. There's lots of information that's available. And Gloria was right that I intend to share more information about after annual conference, I think about what are the bits of business that have the most potential for impact on the local church, and in particular, the resolution to provide training on addiction to local congregations and communities is of particular impact to us. We voted that each church should do it. And I've included a little more information about that in the July newsletter. I'm not sure yet how we're going to do it or whose help we'll get to do it, but we're going to do it. Now let's move into a time of studying God's word for us today. Today's scripture asks the question, you know, we're in a whole year-long series of Jesus questions, and today Jesus is asking us, why don't you do what I say? That's a really tough question. In the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, there is a paragraph titled, The Wise and Foolish Builders. It begins with verse 46. If you are following along with me. And as we've been doing lately, I will check my messages on my cell phone at the end of the sermon to see if any of you have questions that are burning your hearts or minds. And I'll answer those, if possible, in the time that we have allotted for worship. If not, then I'll give you an answer privately. If you need my cell phone number, it is 330-550-4743. And if you don't text, you can still ask me questions. I love them. Here's our scripture for the day. Jesus asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This year of focusing on Jesus' questions has been a very challenging one for me. It has forced me to look at some scriptures from a different angle. This one I've always looked at, as the title implies, the wise and foolish builders. Different ways that, you know, how important the foundation of scripture and God is to our lives. I never before took Jesus' question seriously in this passage. Why don't you do what I tell you to do? It's always been there, but it wasn't my focus. And that's challenging. Okay. Jesus is pointing out that often our actions are not consistent with our words, because his real question is, why do you call me Lord and then not do what I tell you to? Don't we often do that? Don't we often say X, Y, and Z are our priorities, and then we actually prioritize A, B, and C? If we look at our time, our money, our resources, we prioritize things that are different from what we say we believe in. He's calling us to account to be consistent with what we say our values are. Why don't you do what I tell you to? Isn't that a question every parent asks? Okay, am I alone here? Yes, I'm alone? That worked out backwards, didn't it, Gloria? We have two sons. The younger one has always been quiet. He would go off in the corner and read, and he was very obedient and pretty much always did what we asked him to. Then there's his older brother. Rasul has always had to learn things the hard way. Anybody have one of those kids? Mm-hmm. And Russ is allergic to cars. I'm pretty sure there's a test for it that would demonstrate it to be true. We would tell him things like, never drive when you're sleepy. Have you done it, or one of your kids? You personally did it? Oh, so we got that midnight call that every parent dreads. He'd been T-boned, was in ICU in Pittsburgh, and they weren't sure he was going to live. Why don't you do what I tell you to do? Was not what we were thinking that night. All we were doing was praying that God would intervene and Russ would live. Fortunately, 10 years later, he's the father of my grandchildren. So it turned out well. But when, like Russ, when we don't do what God tells us to do, there can be disastrous results. So why don't we do it? I decided to Google, why don't kids do what their parents tell them to do, and see if there was an answer on Google. And there is. There are several. But here are some of the reasons they said that kids don't do what their parents tell them to. They don't share our priorities. That makes sense, doesn't it? The night Russ had that horrid car accident, his priority was getting somewhere, not going home and getting some sleep. The second reason they say is that we've trained them not to pay attention until we yell and threaten. Does God have to yell at us and threaten in order to get our attention? Another reason is they're human. Well, I knew that, although sometimes I suspected otherwise. What this means is that all humans resist being controlled by others. We resist being controlled by God, don't we? The more we feel pushed around, the more we rebel. We don't like being under anybody else's control. And we're adults. Here's another reason why kids don't do what their parents ask them to do. Their frontal cortex is still developing. It's true. Self-control and delayed gratification apparently are in this part of the brain, and theirs isn't fully developed yet. Ours is, so what's our excuse? They have to value a relationship with us enough to do what we want instead of what they want. And the last reason that I chose to talk about is they feel disconnected from us. Isn't it true that many times we don't do what God asks us to do because we don't feel connected with God? These reasons kids don't obey their parents are very similar to the same reasons that James Moore came up with in a book he wrote in the 90s titled, Lord, I Have Sinned, But I Have Several Excellent Excuses. Isn't that a charming title? I actually skimmed the book but never read it thoroughly, but I put it on my bookshelf because I thought it gave me some exemptions from the need to obey the one that I call Lord. Our reasons for lack of obedience to God's will are pretty much the same as the ones that child psychologists give for kids not obeying their parents. Often we feel disconnected from Jesus and we don't want him to be Lord of our lives because we want what we want when we want it. We have to value the relationship with God enough to want to please him. And that doesn't happen unless we're spending time with him and developing that relationship. These questions of Jesus are hard to deal with because he already knows the answers before he asks the question and is asking the question in order to get us to do some self-examination, and that's painful. Now, personally, I have difficulty preaching about sin to an aging congregation. I've always thought of older people as being pretty much sin-free. You know, less temptation as you get older, fewer wants and desires. I've always loved being around old people from the time I was a kid. They seem generous, kind, filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all the good things. That was my experience. Then I got old. We're faced with just as many temptations, aren't we? There's the temptation to complain. There's the temptation to share our aches and pains instead of the joy of life. There's the temptation to give up, to give in, to settle for less than what God has planned for us. You see, temptations are there at every age. There's no exemption just because you're older than dirt. But saying, Lord, Lord, and fulfilling it means being obedient to the will of God for health and wellness, spiritual health and wellness. Not just for our own sakes, but for the sakes of everyone else and to the glory of God. And I celebrate that invitation to wholeness and wellness But here's another thing, another reason to be obedient. People don't care what we say we believe, and you can't develop trust unless you are trustworthy. If your actions don't match your words, people won't trust you. Our actions are very important. I read a story recently written by a woman whose whole life was all of her possessions, her family, were destroyed by a terrible flood. And her minister came to visit her. And he asked a lot of questions. And then he started to leave. And she said, "Aren't you going to pray with me?" And he said, "No, I don't have time." I read that and didn't want to finish reading the story. Fortunately, I did finish it, because he came back in a couple of hours with food, clothing, blankets, household goods. And then he prayed. If he had simply prayed for her well-being without having the helpful actions that helped him to fulfill God's will in her life, they would have been empty prayer words. Shocked as I was by his response in the first place, I was, of course, inordinately pleased by the result in the end. Our actions must match our words. If we call ourselves Christians, if we place ourselves under the lordship of Jesus, then, of course, we must do what he asks us to do. Thanks be to God.